You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
Let's continue this morning with our identity statement. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Amen. And this morning we're going to stop and talk a little bit about hope. We've talked about hope, and we're wrapping up our study through the book of Amos. And we're going to look at the last two chapters, chapter 8 and 9 today. But before we do, I want to pause and I want to define hope. And this is from an author who has done a great deal of research of what is hope and how does hope affect us? Why is hope important and why do we need to have hope in our lives? So let's take a quick moment. He is the author of Making Hope Happen. His name is Shane Lopez. Let's see his definition of what hope is for us today.
Hope is about future thinking. It's a complex way of thinking about the future. So how we think about the future, if we believe that the future will be better than the present and we believe we have some power in making it so, we're hopeful creatures. You have to have both. Mm-hmm. If you just believe the future will be better than the present, you're optimistic, which has some value. It really does. It has some psychological value. It has some value in terms of health outcomes and well-being outcomes. But if you don't add that piece of agency, that agenic, mm-hmm. I can have a biography of choice. I can narrate my own story. If you don't have that piece, then that other piece is not as strong as it could be. A lot of people, you know, say, they use that phrase, I'm not an optimist, I'm a realist. Mm-hmm. I hate that. Hopeful people are realistic people because hopeful people see the goal, see where they're going, and immediately after kind of training themselves over time, they start seeing all the ways they can get there, and then they start seeing all the obstacles that might pop up in their way. So a very hopeful person like Mary Hawkins Jones, a very hopeful person can say, we're going over there, there are 5 ways to get there and 17 obstacles in our way. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to navigate around all those obstacles as a team and ultimately get there. We have half of American students that are hopeful. We have about 33% that are stuck.
They're 33%, kind of like, a third of kids are
stuck. A third of kids are like, I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit here. You know, so they're not hopeless, but they're not hopeful. Then you have 17% of students in America that are discouraged. Mm. And when you're discouraged, the blinders go like that. And you start seeing fewer and fewer options, opportunities, pathways, supports, ways out. And you start thinking pretty dark thoughts.
Anyone ever experience the tunnel effects of being absent of hope? Things getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Your options get smaller and smaller and smaller. I appreciate his conversation here and his book tailored for educational professionals, but also for us parents and adults within a community to take our own temperature when it comes to what in my life gives me hope. What do y'all do with this definition of hope? The two key ingredients for what makes hope, future better than the present. Number one, he said, is the first part of hope being alive and well in our lives. And then secondly, I have some power in making it so. I have some power in making it so. Have you ever been in a place where you felt like you didn't have the power to make it so? I think the first part is easy for me to say, yeah, I like that. Future better than the present. That's always been my definition of hope. But I haven't always connected in that when I feel like my feet are in concrete and I can't take a step, that kills that hope in me. And I am very quickly bent in a direction of hopelessness or despair. Or I feel just like I'm neutral. I don't feel like moving forward. I'm not necessarily moving backwards. I'm just kind of stuck here in this moment. Again, let's ask a question. Do I have power to see my hopes come into a reality? Is there something in my life that puts the power in the situations in my life that brings me hope? We could say that fuels the fire of Jesus's dreams for me, Jesus's dreams for you. There's those moments when we step back and we say, I'm not really sure if I can make a positive change or effect in this situation. Have you ever been there? And stepped back and said, maybe time to move in a different direction or try something totally different because this just isn't working. This week, Gage learned to ride his bicycle without training wheels. It was so much fun because he kept talking to me about, Dad, remember when I had training wheels? And he would tell these little stories. It was like his way of processing the fact that he is saying goodbye to his training wheels. And one of the stories that he told, he's like, Dad, remember when I had training wheels and it was like a exercise bike? Like, has he even seen an exercise bike? I have no idea where my kid got this picture in his mind of an exercise bike. Well, he would drive sometimes on our road when we're out with the kids riding bikes, and he would go off to the side, the edge of the road where the grass is, and he would get caught where his training wheels were keeping his back wheel up so that the back wheel just spun and spun and spun, and he did not have control or power to move forward. And there's those moments in our lives when I need that nudge because my bike is stuck. I have found myself in a little bit of a crevice or a ravine, and I need some help getting moved out of that. So as a follower of Jesus, I have experienced many times in my life, whether I realized that it was directly coming from Christ or I saw the dots connected when Jesus sent someone, when there was a word, when there was something that I read, when his presence in my life was that nudge that I needed to move me forward and get me back on the road again. There's those times in our life when we feel like our wheels are just spinning. So for this morning, I like Mr. Lopez's definition of hope. It's easy sometimes to say, well, I have hope, but is there the power to move in the direction of seeing that hope come? And for me, that life, that energy, that well-being, that fire in my soul comes from Jesus in my life. Do you have that fire in your hope this morning? Do you have that life in you today? Let's take a moment, and I want to ask three questions. So please don't pull out your iPhones, pull out your Androids, or whatever your smartphone just might happen to be this morning. And I'm going to have you write down three things. All right, grab your piece of paper if you are of that generation. Feel free to use paper. Just want to give everybody permission to be themselves today and to express themselves the way they'd like to. First question, write three things that you are hoping for. These are three things that I am hoping for right now in my life. What three things am I hoping for? Three things that I am hoping for. Secondly, what stands in the way of realizing my hopes? What's the opposition to those three hopes that you're hoping for, hoping in today? Just three. Just three, maybe three things. What stands in the way of realizing my hope? What stands in the way of realizing my hope? Lastly, who are three hopeful people in my life? Who are three hopeful people in my life? All right. We have Great list here. Let's open up our scriptures to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Begin reading at verse 1 this morning. This is what the Lord showed me. Behold, a basket of summer fruit. He said, back up here. He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The song of the temple shall become wailings in that day, declares the Lord God. So many dead bodies, they are thrown everywhere. Silence. Silence. Amos is speaking the words of God here in a moment, and I would put this in the category of anything but hope, that category, the absence of all hope. The children of Israel had gone in a particular direction that was leading them away from loving their neighbors as themselves. And in that process, they came to the logical end. They came to the end of the path of what that looks like for a people who claim to know God and claim to love God and yet miss the very heart and desire of God for his children on this earth, and that is to reach out to those who are in need around you and to show them the love that you desire in your heart, in your life. To love them as you love yourself. It's an interesting picture here, a basket of summer fruit. Basket of summer fruit. Have you ever gone out to your garden and tried to collect fruit in the heat of the summer? Or veggies in the heat of the summer? There's not a whole lot there. The commentators refer to this passage as a passage that is non-existent fruit basket. Basically there's really nothing there to gather or to collect, and yet Amos is looking for something good in that moment, and there's nothing there. I want you to look what is here in our last verse this morning from chapter 8. Silence. Silence. You could hear a pin drop. It's the end of the day. It's at night. Everyone's asleep. You may be laying in bed, or you're on the way of going to bed, and you walk by the bathroom, and in the shower you hear drip, 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 drip. The kids' bathroom, there's a knob that if you don't turn it that last little bit, it will drip, 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 and their little hands can't get a hold of that knob and turn it just that last little bit. So last night I'm laying in bed and I'm hearing this drip, drip, drip. There's certain things that you can hear in moments of silence. Yeah. Silence was something that the children of Israel were not aware of when it came to this metaphor, this picture of not having something to do or something to celebrate. Why? Because they had everything to celebrate. Everything was going for them. Everything was good. And yet their hearts had grown cold towards the things that God's heart is on fire for. So in this moment, there was silence. Sometimes silence is a little scary for us in our lives. Sometimes silence is the absence of all of the noise so that we can hear what's really going on below the surface. The rest of the chapter, I encourage you to read it when it's a sunshiny day and there's blue sky out and you have a cup of lemonade in your hand and you're happy. Because the next part in the chapter is anything but hopeful. It is the complete utter destruction of a nation based upon the lack of heart for those in need around them. The hardness and the callous was there. And yet, the next chapter, chapter 9, brings us to a place where the door begins to open on hope. The dream of the nation of Israel, God's people, God's children, turning from what had been their destruction and embracing what God had for them. His blessing, not just physically, touchably, and tangibly, but also His blessing for their hearts. And then out of their heart, the way that they interacted with their fellow man was the goal. And Amos begins to see that and to speak that forth, a message of hope for the children of Israel in his time. Amos chapter 9 begins with this. I saw the Lord standing beside the altar, and he said, strike the capitals until the thresholds shake, and shatter them on the heads of all the people, and those who are left of them I will kill with a sword. Not one of them shall flee away, not one of them shall escape. It doesn't feel very hopeful in that moment, right? Not at all. But it goes on, Amos chapter 9, if they dig into Sheol, from there shall my hand take them. If they climb to heaven, from there I will bring them down. If they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, from there I will search them out and take them. And if they hide from my sight in the bottom of the sea, there I will command my serpent, and it shall bite them. And if they go into captivity before their enemies, there I will command the sword, and it will kill them. And I will fix my eyes upon them for evil and not, what? For good. For good. Amos's perspective here in this moment is very dark in the absence of hope. The Lord God of hosts, who touches the earth and it melts, and all who dwell in it mourn, and all of it rises like the Nile, and it sinks again like the Nile of Egypt. Who builds his upper chambers in heaven and stands firm, and sand found his vault upon the earth? Who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the surface of the earth? The Lord is his name. Are you not like the Cushites to me, O people of Israel, declares the Lord? Did I not bring up Israel from the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Captor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, declares the Lord. There's a destruction that comes to a people based upon their lack of loving and choosing to embrace what God loves and embraces. Amos goes on, for behold, I will command and shake the house of Israel among all the nations as one shakes with a sieve, but no pebble shall fall to the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who says, disaster shall not overtake or meet us. In that day I will rise up the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its breaches, and rise up its ruins, and rebuild it as the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord, who does this. Behold, the day is coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reapers, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, They shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them. Thus says the Lord. Throughout the 9 chapters of Amos, there is this theme, thus says the Lord. Amos wasn't just making this stuff up. He was hearing and he was receiving and he was reflecting the way that he understood who God was and what God was doing in response to the hardness of hearts. And so we come to this place of saying, where does this hope come from when it appears and it looks and it feels like I'm just spinning my wheels and I'm not able to go anywhere? Because the children of Israel had come to that point of it was over and it was done. God's response was going to be full and complete. Nothing was going to be left undone. I don't know about you, but that one passage that talks about going into the water and God's going to send a serpent to get you, that's one of my nightmares as a child. So I don't know who was speaking Amos over me as a kid, but that's very much a reality of my imagination that I want to avoid very much in my life. The promise of God, the energy, the life, the fuel, the fire, all of these things that are ingredients in hope come together in this final word from Amos the prophet. This final word from a man who wasn't looking for this job to stand in a place and speak, thus says the Lord, but over and over again pointed back, this is what God said, this is what God's up to. I didn't make this up, I didn't dream this up. He comes to this point of saying, with my eyes, I've seen something. We need to respond to it. We need to open up and allow God's instruction to teach us and to change us and to mold us and to direct us so that we move from despair to hope. So we allow the life and the light and the love of God in our lives in those moments when we have been confronted with our own sin, our own oppression, our own iniquity, our own darkness, those hard places where I'm saying no to God and yes to my own safety and security. The children of Israel were reaping the greed, or rather the fruit of their greed. They were reaping that fruit in their lives. It was all about them, and they were closed off to giving and to sharing, to loving those around them. What is hope to you this morning? Emily Dickerson penned this poem of hope. Let's read this together. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gate it's heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that keeps so many warm. I've heard it in the chilliest night on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity I asked a crumb of me. Hope is something powerful and alive. Something is powerful and alive for each of us in our lives today. I want to just pause on the list that you all made. Those 3 questions. What are you hoping for? What stands in the way of that hope being realized? And who are 3 hopeful people? I want to just pause here as we wrap things up and allow us to talk to Jesus this morning about those things that we're hoping for. Talk to Jesus about those things that are standing in the way of those hopes. And express our thankfulness for the people in our lives who are living out hope, that we look to as examples of hope in our lives. So as the team comes and begins playing, let's take a few moments and talk to Jesus about our list that we've made. Because in those times of, I could be in despair or I could be in hope, it's important that we come back to the author and finisher of our lives and allow Jesus to move in those situations. Let's take a few moments and have some prayer. Jesus, what am I hoping for this morning? Jesus, this stands in the way of realizing my hopes. Jesus, these are three people in my life that are living out hope. Thank you for them and their example. Jesus, we just ask you to increase the measure of hope in each of our lives. Those places where we are at a dead end or there's a wall right in front of us, we welcome your dreams and your pictures that you have for us to be revealed and to be opened up in our hearts and our lives. We thank you for the hope that is building. We thank you for the people in our lives that are living out hope. And if you need to increase our hope work, if you need to increase the culture of hope around us, Father, we ask you to show us and lead us to hopeful people, people who are seeking to walk with your dream, your vision, your picture, and to allow your fire to fuel their actions in response to those hopes and dreams. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
May the God of all hope give us the dream, give us the picture that we are to live in and live through, live out. May we be open and seeking every day the power of His Spirit to live out those pictures. May hope be a reality each day in our lives. Bless each of you, my brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.